to today's service in the name of Jesus Christ. That at the end of the service, your name alone shall be glorified. For in Jesus' most glorious name we pray. Can somebody put his hands or hands together for the Lord? Appreciate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You may be seated. You are welcome to this service, the last Sunday of the year 2024. Can somebody appreciate the Lord for that? You saw the beginning of this year. Today is 29. 2 days from now, we shall be saying bye-bye to 2024. You shall gloriously, wonderfully cross over to 2025 in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord who has kept you this far will ensure that you cross over peacefully in the name of Jesus Christ. Brethren, without wasting much time, we're going straight to our Sunday school. This morning, we're going to be taking up a very, very interesting topic. Every topic that is being taken in our Sunday school is to bless us. And we thank God for what He has been doing. The teachings has been changing our lives, has been making tremendous impact in our lives. And we thank God that today's Sunday school will yet bless us more in the name of Jesus Christ. We shall be looking at the topic I titled Understanding Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. You can see it on the screen. Understanding Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. You can open your Bible to that scripture. IT can also help us to have it on the screen. We want to understand. Please, I just want to beg of you because the Lord wants us to learn something. Understanding Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, and the inherent lessons. It's on the screen. It says, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." We can also find this scripture in Matthew, in Luke 7:28. The same scripture is captured. Let's also look at it. This say, "For I say unto you," this is Jesus speaking here, "among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Still the same thing. He said, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let the matter be established." Let's now go back to Matthew 11, verse 11, where the topic is taken from. Understanding Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. By now, I know somebody should start thinking. He said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there are no risen a greater than John the Baptist." What is the Lord saying here? That no one is greater than John the Baptist. Of all born of women, no one is greater. But the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verse 10, about Moses. How can the Lord Jesus Christ be saying John the Baptist is greater than Elijah, greater than Moses, greater than all the prophets, greater than Ezekiel, Joshua, all the great prophets of God that did so much wonders in the Old Testament? How can John the Baptist, that the Bible even records that he did no miracle, as powerful as John the Baptist is, do you know that he did not do any miracle? And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying he's greater than Elijah, with all the signs and wonders, greater than Moses, that even parted the Red Sea. This calls for what? For serious thinking. And the Holy Ghost will grant us understanding this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's read that Deuteronomy 34, verse 10, where it is recorded that no one, Deuteronomy 34 verse 30, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. By this scripture, he said no one is as powerful, is as anointed, is as great. Was there anyone that God spoke to mouth? And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, John the Baptist is greater than Moses. He said, of all, included all the prophets. I hope you have started thinking. What does he mean? And not only in Matthew, I've also showed you in Luke 7:28 to tell you that what the Lord Jesus Christ meant, it didn't make mistake. He was saying the truth that John the Baptist is greater than all, including Moses, that Deuteronomy 34 verse 10 says, no prophet has risen like him. For every Bible student, when you see a scripture like this, you need to pause. What is the Lord saying? Now, one thing that you must understand before you can correctly know what makes John the Baptist. Because you should pause when you see a scripture like this, and you have seen all the miracles, all the great achievement of the prophets of the Old Testament have done. And you see a statement like this, the first thing that a question that should come to your mind is, what makes John the Baptist greater than them all? If you are a Bible scholar, if you are a Bible student, rather, that question should automatically come to your mind. Am I communicating? It is in asking this question that the answer will come. You won't just gloss over it and move. So, what makes him? And for you to be able to know or to answer that question correctly, what exactly makes John the Baptist to be greater? The first thing that you should know is that the standard that the Almighty God uses to measure greatness differs from the human measure. What you and I will use to say, this man is so powerful, he's so great, he's so anointed. Our own standard of measuring that greatness. Brethren, for you to be able to answer this question, what makes John the Baptist the greatest of all born of women? You must know the standard that God is using. What does God look at to say this person is great? And it will shock you to know that the standard that God is using differs very greatly from what man is using. So if you know the standard that God is using, it will be very easy for you to know the standard that Jesus used to be able to pick John the Baptist. Are we together? So let's read Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. Thus said the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. He's so wise. Let him not boast. Let him not feel that he's the greatest because he's as wise as Solomon. Now, when somebody is very wise, that connotes greatness, right? When you have anything in a greater proportion than the other, people begin to ascribe greatness to you. Am I communicating? Now, see what the Lord is saying. Humanly speaking, when somebody is very wise, you begin to ascribe greatness to him. But hear what the Lord is saying. He said, thus said the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man, so powerful, so mighty. He said, don't boast, don't glory in your might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Don't seek greatness in all this. Don't use these parameters to measure greatness. Then what should you use as indices, as parameters to measure greatness? Verse 24. He said, but let him that glories, glory in this. That what? He understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Are we picking something? Are we picking something here now? So do you see the standard? By your own inference from this now, that when God begin to ascribe greatness to you, he will be looking at your what? Your knowledge, your understanding of his ways. Are we learning? Not how powerful you are, not how mighty you are, not the signs and wonders that you are doing, even though those are very good in your work with him. But if you want to assess your greatness, he won't look at it from that angle of your power. Are we learning? Are we learning? Okay? So before we can correctly answer this question, we need to understand that God's standard for measuring greatness is different from man's standard. So that is why you cannot say, I have a whole lot of cover. If I begin to give everybody mic now, let's say I have the luxury of time to begin to ask you one after the other. What do you think makes John the Baptist greater, having seen what God is using to measure greatness? And I know if I give at least 10 people the mic to tell me why the reason that Jesus shows John the Baptist as the greatest of all, I know I will have many different answers. Many different answers. Many different answers, but I don't really have the luxury of time to begin to give microphone and begin to ask your opinions as to why did Jesus Christ choose John the Baptist. But in my study, I came across very common reasons. Very, very many common. As I was studying for this teaching, very many common. These are the reasons. And from the study, we will know the reason as we continue to delve into this study. Say, from the above scripture, it is clear that man's greatness before God is what? The amount of the knowledge and understanding he has about him. Therefore, the following, just let it still remain here, the following are not the reason, even though they look like the reason. Okay, let me just give the mic to one person. Do you have a mic? To tell me, do you have a mic? No second mic. Give it to the congregation. Let somebody just tell me one reason why Jesus Christ, you know, that make Jesus Christ to choose John the Baptist. Anybody from the congregation? Please, we don't have time. I have a whole lot to cover. Nobody? Okay, just one person. Give it to a brother is raising.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In my own understanding, I don't understand that the prophets only prophesy towards the Lord. But John the Baptist is one that points directly to who God is. He's one that directed people to who Jesus is. He's a pointer. And I believe he does the most needed thing, the word of God, by, you know, establishing the word of God to the people.
You try. At least I will give you 90%. Put your head together for him. Like I said, okay, let me just take one more. Hey, sister, is there anyone among the sisters? Just one. Give it. Brother, you tried. It was a privilege. It was one that pointed the people to the Lord, but which, even though it is not the perfect reason.
Praise the Lord, church.
Hallelujah.
John the Baptist was the one that forerun the forthcoming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The one that forerun is very close. It's almost the same thing. Yes. It's part of the reason. But look, it was one that forerun, it was one that was prophesied that it will be to introduce the Messiah. It's the one that was to speak about the kingdom. So it's part of the reason, but it is not really the main reason. But you tried. It's part of the reason. I don't have time. I don't really have time. If I have the time, I would have given it to everybody. I want us to understand, based on what we have read from Jeremiah 9, 23, 24. Now, let's see common reasons from my study that people are giving. The next slide. These are not the basic reasons. A lot of people will say it's because God's choice. That is what our mommy said. It's not the primary reason. God's choice. That John was chosen by God to prepare the way for the law. As you can see in Malachi chapter 1, verse 3, he was the one. His birth was prophesied. God shows him he was the one to forerun the first coming. He was the one to prepare the way. Malachi prophesied about it. Isaiah prophesied about it. And it manifested in Matthew 3. Yes. But it's not really. Another reason that many scholars gave is that because Old Testament predicted it. John was one of the few people, at least Isaac. Isaac birth was also prophesied now. Why was Isaac not chosen? That is the greatest of them all. A lot of people say this is the reason because his birth was prophesied. A lot of people say the reason why he was chosen to be the greatest is because he had Elijah-like qualities. If you look at Elijah, you look at John the Baptist, you will see so many similarities about their life. John shared many qualities with Elijah, including calling a nation to repentance. Just the same way that Elijah, you know, when the Israel went into idolatry, a rebellion against God, God used Elijah to restore them. Even rebook Ahab, the same thing that John the Baptist did. He brought the nation to repentance. You know, even his ministry was to prepare the people for the law through the message of repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So many similarities. But is that the reason why he's chosen to be the greatest of all born of women? No. Verse 4, the fourth reason. Many believe Jesus Christ because of him. Yeah. It was one that made the path straight for him. Because of John, if we read John 10, 41 to 42, many believe the Lord Jesus Christ because of the work that John the Baptist has said. Because all what he has said about him, it is what they were saying. So because of that, they acknowledge him and they receive the Lord Jesus. But is that the reason he was greater? No. Ascetic lifestyle, many also adduce this reason. Ascetic lifestyle means he lived a life of self-denial. We are going to read Matthew chapter. If you want to know about John the Baptist, just take Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 from 1 to 7. You see how he was living in wilderness. He lived. Okay, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. Let's read it so that we know ascetic lifestyle. Say, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Read them. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now let's look at his lifestyle. And this same John had his raiment, was not wearing this kind of clothes, beautiful clothes we are wearing. See what he was wearing? His garment, raiment of camel's hair, that is cloth. And a leathery girdle about his loins. What is food like? His meat was what? Locust and what? Wild honey. Look at the lifestyle. Very, very harsh, austere, self-denial life because of the purpose for which he came. So is that the reason? No. It's not because he lived so much life of self-denial. That was not the reason. That is not the reason. Even though John the Baptist came, his arrival marks the culmination, the end point of the era of the law, and introducing the era of what? The beginning of the era of grace. In fact, it is coming that ended almost 430 years or 400 years of prophetic silence. God has not been speaking to Israel about 400 years before he came. It is arrival that broke that silence. His role in the salvation plan of God was very, very central. His arrival ended the era of the law and the introduction of the era of what? Of grace. Now, what is the reason? You see, you know, is just being privileged. All the prophets prophesy about the Messiah. They all spoke about him. They have one thing. They know one thing or the other about the Messiah. But when these prophecies will come to pass, they don't know. The people for whom these prophecies were meant for, they don't know. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1 verse. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse. Let's take from 10 to 12. That they were, is it Elijah prophesied, Moses prophesied about the salvation plan of the Lord. He said, of which salvation the prophet, that is the Old Testament prophet, have acquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Verse 11. Searching, they were all inquiring. They know God will save mankind. But the time that this thing will be ignited, the people that will be the beneficiary of this salvation plan, none of them knew. Let's read. They searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when he tested before the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, talking about the Old Testament prophet, but unto us, we that are in the kingdom now, us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, talking about us, by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angel desire to look into. They all prophesied about it. All of them knew, but as to when it will manifest, the people, they did not know. But John the Baptist, seeing it, all what they prophesied about, the fulfillment of it, he saw it. Because he saw it, his understanding about the righteousness, about the salvation plan of God, he knew it more than all the prophets. Are you listening? If they were all inquiring, they were all searching, this thing we are picking in the spirit, when will it take place? They didn't know. But John the Baptist was the one chosen. But not just that, because he was chosen. Now, because he now saw the fulfillment, all what they were thinking about, they were prophesying about, he has better understanding. That was why he was able to say, immediately he saw him. He said what? Behold the Lamb. He said he knew he's the one that will purge. He said he will gather his wheat into the barn. He will purge the floor. He knew better. That is the understanding and the knowledge we are to pick from Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. He had better knowledge and understanding of the salvation program of God, because he came at the time when all the prophecies concerning when the program of salvation of God, when it will begin, he came. So it is that understanding that he has better than them that makes him to be what? To be greater than all of them. What they were saying, if John should talk about the salvation plan, the righteousness of God at that time, Moses only knew about the righteousness of God by what? Through the what? The laws. But John the Baptist had better understanding. Is that not why Paul, Romans chapter 10, verse 1, he said, brethren, he said, my prayer and I desire to God for Israel as well, that they might be saved. Verse 2, he said, I bear their record. They have foreseen of God, but not according to what? To knowledge. Verse 3 is my embassy. For they be ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Your understanding and the knowledge of the program of God will make you to know what he is doing and will make you to walk in his what? Righteousness. Praise the Lord. So understanding, knowledge of what God is doing qualifies you for greatness. And everybody should take a clue from this. Inasmuch as power is very, very useful. Power is very, very important in our relationship. But in your getting of power, get what? Get what? Get what? Understanding and knowledge. It's so key. You may do all the miracles and still be out of the will of God. It's so key. Let's take a key from that. Oh, the miracle signs and wonder. You may do it and yet still be out of the will. Is it established? Is it clear that what makes him to be greater than it? He came at a time where that fulfillment has come to pass. And what? He now has better understanding of the program of God for salvation than all that were born of women. If you understand, if you believe, put your hands together for the Lord. Did it sink? Did it sink? Let's read the next slide. Now, you know, it is a part of that scripture we have taken that he said John the Baptist is greater than. He also made, let's go back to that Matthew chapter 11. The second statement he made. He says, Matthew 11 verse 11. So the second part of that statement. He said, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than who? John the Baptist. You and I, that has now entered into that kingdom by receiving the Holy Ghost. For being in the kingdom. Now Luke chapter 17 verse 20 now. When they were asking Jesus, that when will the kingdom start? What did he tell them? He said the kingdom of God does not what? Come by what? Observation. Amen. Don't be deceived. I said the kingdom of God is here. It's not by physical observation. And what does he say in Romans chapter 14 verse 17? What is the kingdom of God? He said the kingdom of God is what? Is righteousness, peace, and joy in what? Put your hands together for the Lord. So John chapter 3 verse 5. He said, except a man be born of what? Born of water and born of the spirit. He shall know what? He cannot enter. So you entering into that kingdom is what? Receiving. It's being born of God, receiving the spirit of Christ. And that was inaugurated on the day of Pentecost. Now, anyone who has received the spirit of Christ, Jesus Christ, he said you are also greater. Are you seeing the comparison? John the Baptist is greater than all that were born of women before him. And as greater as he was, me and you that are in the kingdom of God, we are also greater. Now, the question that we should ask, what makes us to be what? To be greater than John the Baptist. And when in my study, the reasons that many are giving, it is except you have the background of where we are coming from, that your guide should be the understanding and the knowledge of the program of God that you have. You will also miss it. You will be thinking, why? If John the Baptist is greater than all the prophets before, now how come John the Baptist that even died as a martyr, that brought the whole nation, introduced them to Christ? How come? What have I done that makes me? And you need this understanding. If I give mic again and begin to ask, what do you think would be the reason? And that's why I quickly put this on the screen. That the reason is not because, number one, that the least in the kingdom is not because it's the Son of God that makes him to be greater. Number two, it's not because it's under a better and new covenant. Let's read on. The next slide. It's not because he can cast out devils. It's not because he has the Holy Ghost inside of him. No. As John the Baptist was just so privileged to come at that time, whereby the fulfillment of all those prophecies have come to pass, so also are we highly privileged to come to pass the kingdom that John the Baptist was talking about. He said, repent. For what? The kingdom of God is at hand. What he was prophesying about, we are already inside of it. And because we are inside, our understanding and the understanding of John the Baptist, can it be the same? I want to get your response. Can it be the same? Who will have higher and better understanding? Eh? We And how do we confirm that? That despite the fact that John the Baptist has better and higher understanding than all the Old Testament, see, for you to know that his understanding is still very limited. That he didn't have perfect understanding. He didn't have enough understanding, adequate understanding, as much as you and I have. Look at his confession in Matthew 11, 2, 3. Please, I want somebody to pay attention here. Matthew. Okay, let's take it from verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Verse 2. And now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Please pay attention. It will drive home the point I am making. And said unto him, Are thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Please pay attention here. Is it not the same John that said in John chapter 1, verse 29? What did he say? What did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh the sin of the world. Now, see a question. Who could have expected that somebody you introduce him, you told the whole nation your purpose and what the Messiah? Look at the question it's asking. We are still reading. This is to let you know. And said unto him, Are thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do here. That question I ask, it is enough reason. It has actually proved the point that despite his greatness, despite the fact that he's greater, he knew much more than all the Old Testament prophets, he's still in doubt. He still lacks some understanding about the total package of the program. He was expecting that Jesus Christ at that time will just begin the kingdom. He didn't know that Jesus Christ will first of all come and pay the price and go and will come back later. Any of us, is there anyone here who has had that Holy Ghost that does not know the program of salvation as far as Jesus Christ coming to die, to go and come back and rapture? Is there anyone that does not know that? This is the reason. Our understanding of this makes us to be greater than John the Baptist. Is it clear? Is it clear? Put your hands together for the Lord. Even my son is smart. He can't ask that question that John the Baptist was asking, because he knows. And why does he know? The fulfillment has come and the Holy Ghost has revealed a whole lot about the salvation plan. We are so privileged. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hope we have understood the scripture. Matthew 11, 11. We've understood. Now, we need to. There are so many things that we can learn, because Jesus actually compared us with John the Baptist. John the Baptist was privileged. It was just a sheer privilege that he came at the time that God wanted to begin the salvation plan. And he wanted to ignite Jesus coming. It's not his making. It's not the one that shows that he wanted to be born at that time. Is he the one? The same way, are you the one that shows that you wanted to be born at this time to witness the fulfillment of the kingdom that John the Baptist was prophesying about? No, it means John the Baptist was privileged by coming at that time, and he was ranked greater. We too, we are also privileged to come at this time to understand. Even Jesus Christ told them in Matthew chapter 13, verse 16. He said, Blessed are thou. These things that you now understand. He said, Blessed are thou. He said, But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verse 17. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desire to see those things which you see, have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard. So it is a privilege. John the Baptist was privileged. You and I are also privileged. So we are privileged people. Put your hands together for the Lord. So let's learn. Let's learn. John the Baptist, hope you know that he fulfilled the purpose for which he came. Hope you know. Hope you know the assignment given to him, he fulfilled it. So, because he fulfilled it, and Jesus compared us with him, and he said we are greater, and we too will be given an assignment for us to be able to fulfill our own purpose. If we must, then we need to do what? Learn from him. Praise the Lord. So let's briefly look at the lessons. The lessons that we can learn. One of the reasons why John the Baptist was able to fulfill that purpose. Number one, he said he knew his purpose. The reason why he came. He was so sure. He was so certain. He was not in doubt. If you can read John chapter 1 verse 6, verse 8. John chapter 1 verse 6. He knew. Please let's there was a man sent from God whose name was John, verse 7. The same came. For what? I want you to say it. Why did he come? To do what? To do what? For a witness. He came to testify about the light that the Messiah is coming. To point them to the righteousness of God. That the salvation plan of God. He came for what? A witness. You and I. You and I. Do we have purpose? What is our purpose? Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 8. What is our purpose as believers? Those who have received baptism of Holy Ghost, who have eternal life, who are waiting for the rapture. What is our purpose? He said, but ye shall receive what? Ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And what will be your work? What will be your work? Witnesses. What was the work of John the Baptist? He came for what? A witness. To point the people to receive Jesus Christ. And he was doing it, was baptizing them. So, you as a believer, you must know too, you too, that you have a what? There is an assignment, there is a purpose for you. There is a purpose for you. That the reason why you are saved, you are to what? After you have been saved, you are to do what? Witness. Are we learning? What's the next thing that happened? He knew the message he was sent to preach. He knew the message. What was the message of? What was the message given to John the Baptist? Matthew chapter 3. What was his message? What was his message? I want to hear. What was his message? He said, repent. For what? The kingdom of God is. That was his message. Was to repent. And as many that repented, the evidence that they have repented, what will he do? He will baptize them. Are we together? Repent. He knew his message. And you and I, for you to be very, very effective in your witnessing, brethren, every believer, every follower of Christ who have been a beneficiary of the cross of Christ, you are to what? Witness. What? You may not be an evangelist. You may not be called in the order of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. But you, what is witnessing? Talking about what you have seen and you have heard, you have known about him. Sharing his goodness. Sharing his goodness. Talking about his benevolence. You were going to hell. His love found you. You must tell people that are still lost. You can't just be without witnessing. You cannot. Your appearance, your office, anywhere you find yourself, no matter the profession, you are to what? Witness. And for you to be an effective witness, you must what? Know the message. What is the message? You are meeting two groups of people every day. Two groups of people. You are meeting what? Unbelievers. There is a message you are giving. What is the message you are giving to unbelievers? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Unbelievers, you have a message for them? What? You have been given a ministry of what? Reconciliation. And you must know how to reconcile them. Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 38. You must know the process to bring them to Christ, to reconcile them. That is one message. Another one, those who are believers, for them not to end up a foolish virgin, you must also know the message. Matthew 25, verse 6. What does he say? Matthew 25. He said, and at midnight, there was what? A cry made. Behold, the bridegroom coming. Go ye out to meet him. There are believers. But right now, because they don't know about the program of God, many of them, they have received Christ, but they don't know the plan, the program of God. They did not even know about the plan for the rapture. Now you have a message to the denominations that are still living their life anyhow, even though they have received Christ. You must now go and say, behold, the bridegroom cometh. What should you do? Come out. You can't remain where you are and meet him. There is a message for them. There is a message for them. You have a message for unbelievers to reconcile them to Christ. You must be, you know what, Brother Assembly is raised for? To prepare the believers for the soon coming of the Lord. You must partner with it. You can't just remain very dormant about this. Otherwise, they will end up foolish virgins. You must echo it aggressively that the bridegroom cometh. Come out of your denominations. Come out of your errors. Come out of your idols. It will soon come. Otherwise, you will end up a foolish virgin. There is a message. And you must be an effective witness. If John the Baptist, who is ranked less than you and I, was able to bring a whole nation to Christ, pointed them, you, what are you doing? Don't be deceived. And begin to say, okay, witness evangelism is to exact. If you have that understanding, you don't know the damage you are doing to yourself. See, the houses you are building, the cars you are buying, the marriage, the children, none of them will cross over. I'm not talking about crossover that we are crossing in 3 days' time. Crossover what? Crossover to eternity, millennium. None of this our accusation. And the things that will make you to be relevant when we get to millennium, from a millennium to eternity, none of cars, none of our achievement, earthly achievement, counts. Things that you can take over, it is your witnessing. Jesus Christ told them, say, labor not for the meat that what? That perisheth. All these houses, all is good. Work hard. But work hard as much as you can. Work hard. But don't let it be your priority. Because all those worldly achievements, it won't cross over with you. It will not cross over. It will never cross over with you. The things that matter after here, it should be your priority. And one of them is witnessing. How many of them are you preparing for his soon coming? How many of them? How many of them? Bro, Lucky is not here. Just last week, Sunday, we were going to visit somebody at Yaba. Okay, my brother was there, Brother Emma. As civilized as Lagos is, we got to Yaba. Do you know some people are worshiping wood? Broad daylight. Brother Emma? Is there? Wood! Wood! They carry wood, log of wood. They block the road. That's their God they are worshiping. In this broad daylight, people are still in darkness. And yet, as I was in the car, I was telling you, I said, God, I would have been in this condition, I would have been worshiping idol, if not because your light shone into my heart. And a lot of people are still in darkness. If you are a twin here, that you were born a twin, come out. Please, so that somebody can, a twin, that you were born twins. Is there anyone? Please, you are born a twin. But do you know? Come out. Do you know? If not for light, if not that some people saw light and they gave them all, you won't be living by now. They will have sacrificed you to gods because the people were in darkness. Every fornicator that you see is in what? Is in darkness. Every smoker that you see is in darkness. Every thief. That is why when we share the gospel, we don't condemn because we were once like that. That is, you have a responsibility. Don't be deceived. The primary thing that can't after when we cross over. It is how much of the people you are able to reconcile and prepare for his soon coming. And you have to learn from John the Baptist. How much of your resources are you committing to soul winning? How much of your time do you mark out for soul winning or for witnessing? You want to say, okay, I cannot read. Your life, your dressing can witness. By the way you appear, somebody will come to you. Why are you dressing this way? It's an opportunity. Because I have come out of darkness. If First Peter did not, he said you should be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks you the reason, the hope that you have. Your dressing in your office. Don't say, okay, because you're being a medical doctor, an opportunity to just to prepare, to get something, to eke out your living, to prepare for your basic needs. But since you became a Christian, the basic reason, your primary responsibility in your office, on the road, wherever you find yourself, is to be talking about it. That is where your fulfillment, your relevance is. After a year, you may have all the millions now. You may have all the cars. You may have all the houses, and you are relevant here. But when you get there, you may be a slave. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. You may just be a houseboy because you have nothing. Matthew 19:28. This is one of the things that people like, or the revelation that we have caught, that make us to be passionate. Look at it, pay attention. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, did he say the pastors? Did he say the evangelists? Do we not call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ? He said, for ye which have followed me in the regeneration. Let's talk about the millennium. Please don't be deceived. The heaven we are going to, how many years? 7. We are coming back. Please still leave the scripture. This is my drive. This is my motivation. This scripture. Somebody asked me, say, Brother Sam, why you are here, you are everywhere, and you are burning. It is not for any earthly reward, though. Look at it. Look at the reward. Say that ye which have followed me, where will they be? When the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, say ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Do you know my motivation? I am working so hard. Life of self-denial. Committed so much to witnessing and evangelizing because I don't want to be an ordinary man when I cross over. I want to sit on thrones. In fact, I am working so hard to be the governor of my state because probably our daddy in the Lord might be the president of Nigeria when we cross over. What is your own motivation? Is it the house? This message is coming by this time. No, we are making resolutions now. We are making resolutions to cross over. I don't know what your resolutions are. I don't know your resolutions. Whether your resolution, by the first quarter of 2025, my mansion should be ready. Good, beautiful, nothing wrong. It's to buy a car, to travel abroad, to have visa. All fine. But all those things, you will not carry anyone. Say, labor not. You will not. But the one that will guarantee you relevance, that will make you worthwhile, when Jesus will be in Jerusalem, when we cross over, where? Let it be. And to be part of it, three ways to be part of effective soul winning. Three ways. You can also be part by what? Going up yourself, you can go talk to someone. Everybody should even do that. Or what? Make sure you sponsor. Because why am I bringing it? John the Baptist was fulfilled. We are looking at the lessons, things that he did that assured him success, that gave him success in his day. What he did, he knew the message and it was everywhere. And you cannot be a failure. If John the Baptist, that you are ranked higher was adjudged. What? Was fulfilled. Our Lord Jesus Christ commended him. He did his work. He did the work perfectly. And you that were ranked higher in your understanding, what will be his testimony about you? You can't, don't abdicate. Don't leave it to certain set of people. It is their work. In your office, be passionate about talking about Jesus. Be passionate. In your business place, if you don't know, get the messages that we preach here. Be playing it. Somebody will come and hear something. And hear something. The whole world is still being plunged into darkness. You cannot keep quiet. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Said those that will be wise and turn men into righteousness. What will happen to them? He said they will shine as stars. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. They will shine. That is in the millennium. Don't be concerned about here. By now, think we are believers. Every word made by the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he means it. He said you will sit on thrones. I want somebody to buckle up. To buckle up. Enough of this attitude. It is. I am not an evangelist. I am my own. Whether you are a prophet, every gift that you have, it is to prepare somebody for his soon coming. If he's a believer, hope you know the bridegroom will soon come. Are you ready? Don't end up a foolish virgin. That is the believer. Those ones, you whosoever you be, a teacher, an evangelist, a pastor, the master, the role, a choir member, you can't be quick, you can't be quiet. And you must, if you are too busy, what about your finance? Did you support the Bright TV? How much of your resources? Year 2015, when I began to work, the salary was 40,000. My people in the hospital and prison, they knew. 40,000, I will earmark 5,000 naira for evangelism. They were able to take it was my tithe. It was much later they knew. This with wife. And up to today, it has not stopped. Every month, there is an allotment. And I know a lot of people are doing it. You must be part of it. You must. Otherwise, you will not be relevant when we cross over. Hope you know I'm not talking about the crossover to 2025. When we cross over to real life, we are doing preliminary. We are just doing preliminary. We've not started living. The real life comes after 40, 80 years. Is that life? Is that life? That's not life, oh. But when we are talking of 1,000 years, 1,000 years, let it enter. You can only be relevant by how much witnessing you are now. You can't quit quiet now. The bridegroom comes. Come out. Do it in the bus, anywhere you are. Mommy, Abigail is not around. It's not around. Me and I went to Maximum Prison. We were coming back. We'll say, most time these days, when it's in the bus, the Holy Ghost will be wooing her to speak in the bus, to talk about Jesus, but he will be scared. Brethren, if the Holy Ghost is laying it in your heart to talk, he's giving you opportunity to be relevant when we cross over. And the reason why you don't have the power, John chapter 5 verse 35, God has done everything. Believer, I want to show you something. See why John the Baptist was able to bring the whole nation to see to Jesus. He said he was what? He was a burning and shining light. For you to be able to be passionate and effective witness, you must be what? You must be burning on fire for him. And God, by Thursday, what is happening? What is going to happen by Thursday, 2nd of January? What is going to happen? Empowerment. If you are not on fire, your witnessing will not amount to anything. You must be burning, receiving power. John the Baptist was in the wilderness. His ministry, the history and message, he didn't last up to 1 year. And yet, he was able to bring the home. Look at us. Before, I used to think it's because of the way we are saying this thing that's making this place not to be full. When I was studying this, I realized that I knew better. Why this place is not full? It's not because the way we are saying it to Ado. I read Luke chapter 3, verse 7. John the Baptist called them vipers, called them names, and yet they still came. It's because you and I have not taken up our responsibility. That is why this brother, there's one brother here, brother is saying though. Every Sunday we come and meet, we say, he brought two people today. I say, well done, continue. If you, every one of us, every Sunday, we are bringing two, this place will be filled up. But we can't bring two because there is no fire. There is no fire. No fire. No fire. That is why you can't joke with the empowerment hour that is coming on Thursday. If I were you, I would start on the first. Father, empower me. I want to be an effective witness like John the Baptist and bring my community, my generation to you, so that I can be relevant when I come to you. You must. You must. You must. You must be aggressive. Commit your money to it. Commit your money. Commit your time. Then also pray. If I ask anyone, ask you now, from January to today, how many souls have you brought to the Lord? How many souls? And you are not, you are working to be a houseboy in millennium. It will not be your portion. You are going to wake up. Wake up. What you need to do is to be empowered. When you are empowered, Acts chapter 4, verse 33, to let you know that God has done everything for us. See what is happening. Acts 4, 33. Acts 4, 33. Are we reading? He said, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. What is our motto for next year? What? Abundant grace. To let you know that God strategically wants to empower you. For to you to be an effective witness, you need abundance of grace. And he has made it available. And has made it available. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. You can't keep quiet. Make up your mind for you to be relevant. Bow down your ears and begin to talk to the Lord.